Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, this week we are going to be celebrating first fruits in a few days. We get to celebrate the fact that our Messiah, Yeshua, resurrected from that grave. You know, last week we talked about how he died for us upon that cross, and what Passover means to us, what his death means to us, that through his death there is a forgiveness of our sins by the shedding of his blood, that we are forgiven of our sins, of all of our uncleanness. And this week we're going to talk about the fact that he resurrected from that grave, that he did not stay in the ground, but on the third day, he was in that grave for 3 days and three nights. On the day of first fruits, he resurrected from that grave. He went into the heavenly places and he presented himself as a first fruit offering unto his Father. He is the firstborn among many brethren, and that was the purpose for which he would die upon the cross, and also for his resurrection, was that he could be the firstborn of many brethren. So we have been called to be his brethren. We have been called to conform ourselves into his death, unto his death. So that's actually what we're going to be speaking about this week regarding first fruits and his resurrection. And we are going to be in Romans chapter 6. So let's go ahead and start. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can he who died to sin still live in it? So this is Paul asking a question. He starts off with, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And I want to stop here for a second, because there are some in religion who believe that grace gives us a license to continue in sin, to continue to walk in disobedience and in rebellion, continue to do what we want to do, to seek our own desires, to seek our own flesh, to serve our flesh, and instead of serving righteousness. So Paul is asking the question, shall we continue to walk in sin? Shall we continue to serve the desires of our flesh? Should we continue to be disobedient to his instructions that he has given us, the law that he has laid out on how he has told us to love him in set apartness? He desires to be made set apart, and he wants us to worship him in set apartness. So he has given us his instructions on how to love him in set apartness, and he has given us instructions on how to love people. We don't get to decide how we're going to love people. So Paul is saying that you do not get to continue to walk in disobedience or not follow his instructions on how to love people. He says, by no means. Grace does not give us a license to continue in disobedience. Now, it is there because we are not perfected yet. We will miss the mark. We will mess up. Okay, we still live in a corrupted body. Every day we still fight and struggle with our flesh. But there is a difference between a person who is sincerely fighting against their flesh, striving to walk in obedience, and a person who just gives up and says, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. So there is a difference. So what does Paul say? How can he who died to sin still live in it? So the idea here is that we as believers are to consider ourselves to have died to sin. So we can't live in it anymore. That is the very meaning of his death upon the cross. In his death, yes, there was a forgiveness of our sins by his blood, but we are to look upon his death, and we are to die to our flesh just as he died upon that cross. Remember, Yeshua said that if we are going to be his disciples, then we need to take up our cross daily. What he is talking about is this very fact that he died upon the cross. So now we are going to have to be somebody who daily dies to our flesh, which means that we no longer live in sin. To die to your flesh means that you're no longer serving the desires of your flesh. You're no longer serving the disobedience unto his Torah, unto the instructions that he has given us, but you are seeking out to walk in his righteousness, which is to walk in obedience to his Torah and his word. Romans chapter 6, let's go to verse 3 here. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Messiah Yeshua were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So here Paul is talking about baptism, water baptism, and he's bringing in this concept of us dying with water baptism. So what we see here is when we are immersed in water, it is actually preaching a sermon. It is an outward display of what is supposed to be happening on the inside of that believer. So as you go down in the water, that is symbolic of how Yeshua died upon that tree. So it is symbolic of you dying to your flesh. It is dying to the sin that is in your life, to the disobedience that is in your life. So you're dying to that when you went down into that water. You are baptized into his death. And as he was placed into that tomb for 3 days and three nights, so that old man that you were is now buried. You are now dead. That is the picture that is being painted as you are being brought down into that water. But then he talks about that Messiah was raised from the dead. So he came out of the grave after 3 days and three nights. So we come out of the water. This is a picture of his resurrection. So we come out of the water so that we can walk in a newness of life. So what does that newness of life mean? It means that an old person has died and now you are a new person. Well, if sin is defined as disobedience to his Torah, to his word, to the commandments and the instructions in which he has given us, his law, then the newness of life is this individual who is no longer walking in sin, right? So we are now dead to sin. So now we're alive unto his righteousness. So the newness of life is a person who is no longer serving sin, but is serving righteousness. No longer a slave unto sin, but a slave unto righteousness. So this has to happen inside the heart of every believer. When you are water immersed, if something is not changing on the heart, if the desires of the old man are not being removed, that they're not being dealt with and being replaced with the desire of a newness of life, or the desire to walk in his righteousness, to put aside the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. If there's no desire to get rid of that stuff, and you still want to live for yourself, you still want to do what you want to do, you still want to be conformed to the world instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua. And how are we transformed into his image? Well, it's simple. It's by walking in obedience to his law, to his instructions, and the commands in which he has given us. When we walk in obedience to his word, we walk just as Yeshua walked. Yeshua obeyed the law perfectly. So he now has given us that ability by his Spirit to walk in obedience, to walk just as he walked, as a new man in him. Okay, so that is what we have been called to do. We have been called to walk in that newness of life. And that starts with the heart having a desire to do that. If our heart does not have a desire to walk as Messiah walked, to walk in obedience to his word, then the outward manifestation is never going to occur. The outward manifestation or the outward acts are just going to be a show. We're just going to be a hypocrite. We're never actually going to be conformed into his image or transformed into the image of Yeshua. That is to be the goal of each and every single believer, is to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. But see, in order for us to be transformed into his image, he had to die upon that cross. He had to defeat sin and death. He had to be resurrected from the grave so that we could receive this newness of life. We could never be transformed into his image without him dying upon that cross. And we can never be transformed into his image without first believing in him and accepting him as our Messiah, as our Redeemer, and accepting his forgiveness for our sins. It is by his Spirit that we are able to walk in a newness of life. It is not by our might, our power, or our strength, but it is by his Spirit. Now let's look at verse 5. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So let's start here with verse 5. He says, for we have been united with him in a resurrection like his. Now, his resurrection actually speaks of two things for us. Number one, we get to look forward to the future resurrection, his second coming, where he will call all his believers unto himself, where this body of corruption will put on incorruption. Those who are asleep will be called up to him, and those who are alive will take their next step in the atmosphere. We will be resurrected unto him. Okay, so we have that to look forward to. Eternal life with him. Okay, now it also speaks of what I've been speaking of now, and that is the fact that we can walk in this newness of life. And that is the very thing that Paul goes on to speak about here. The fact that our old man was crucified with him. So we have to think and consider, okay, or reckon ourselves, our old self, the things that we did, the things that we desired to do before we believed in Yeshua, or even those things that currently exist within our hearts that are not aligned with his word and his law and instructions in which he has given us. We have to consider that to be our old self. And we need to crucify those things. We need to see those things as being nailed to the cross like he was. To be dead, to be done away with, to be left behind. So that they would be nothing. Because we are to be no longer enslaved to sin. That means that we no longer serve sin. We are no longer under the power of sin. That is probably one of the harder things to grasp as a believer, especially as a new believer, and as we struggle with our flesh, is to understand the idea and to fully know what it means that we really are not enslaved to sin. Sin has no power over us. When temptation comes and it entices us, It has no power over us. We actually are stronger and possess more power than the sin or the temptation that is in front of our face. I think and I believe that there are times, though, where we can feel the exact opposite, where we can feel that our flesh or the temptation is stronger than our will and or our ability to say no to that temptation or to walk away from that temptation. But it is the exact opposite. We are no longer enslaved unto sin. Why? Because his Spirit's living inside of us, which means that his resurrection power is living inside of us, meaning that we have the power to walk in a newness of life. By his Spirit, we can resist the temptation. And it's also nice to know that we serve a Messiah, a Redeemer, who can empathize with us. He knows what we are going through. He was tempted just like we are tempted. So we can call upon him. We can go unto him because he understands what we are going through and where we are at. So as Paul says in verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. So the one who has truly died unto his flesh, the one whose heart has truly died to the desires, the old sinful desires, who has died to the desire to walk in disobedience, to rebel against his word, and to seek out his own thing, his own ways, his own desires, to the one who has died unto those things, he has been set free from sin. It means that that person, when it comes to temptation, temptation has no hold on him. Temptation has no power over him. So how do we overcome temptation? It comes by the heart having truly died to our old self, having truly died for the desire to do his own things and to seek his own ways and own comfort and the desire to be conformed unto the world or to seek out rebellion and to be disobedient to his law. That one who has died unto those things is truly free from temptation. So that's what it takes to be free from temptation. Is you must have died for the desire in your heart to walk in rebellion against his word and to seek your own way. So it's all about what's going on in the heart. It's all about our hearts being circumcised. And this is a process that we go through in prayer and communication and reading his word and spending time with our Messiah and allowing him to work upon our hearts because he is the one who can circumcise our hearts. See, in the old covenant, he told them to circumcise their hearts. But in the new covenant, he says, I will circumcise your heart. So we need to be a people who are willing to allow him to circumcise our hearts. And if we allow him to circumcise our hearts, then we will have the desire to walk in obedience, and the desires to rebel will be gone. Then temptation will truly have no power over us. We can say that we are set free from sin. Let's look at verse 8. Now, if we have died with Messiah, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Messiah raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Messiah Yeshua. So here in this passage, Paul is saying we have died. So now we also must believe we live in him. So this is Paul now diving into this concept that it's not just that we have died to this old self, of dying to the fact that we are not going to walk in disobedience anymore, but we are alive with him. So we now need to consider ourselves alive, or that we are with him, united with him, one with him. Okay? And he tells us what? That the life we live unto God. How do we live our life unto God? How is our life here going to be a sweet-smelling aroma to Yahweh? What does he tell us in Scripture? If you love me, keep my commandments. So that's how we live a life unto God. That's how our life is pleasing unto him. Paul tells us in another place, for us to be a living sacrifice unto God. A living sacrifice unto God is one who walks in obedience to his commandments. That is how we are a living sacrifice unto him. And when we walk in obedience to his word, we now become light unto the world, and we become salt unto this world. When we are brave enough and bold enough not to be conformed into the image of this world, but to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to walk just as Yeshua walked, which means that we are walking in obedience to his word. We are brave enough to be set apart. His law was not given in order to justify the children of Israel. The children of Israel were set free from Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. The law was given unto Israel for the very purpose to set them apart from the other nations, so that when the nations looked upon them, they would see a light upon a hill. They would see salt. They were called to be salt unto the nations. The Torah, his law given unto us, is to set us apart, to set us apart from the world. So when we're brave enough to walk in obedience to his word, to be set apart, we can become salt unto this world, and we can be a light unto this world. And we can be alive, or we can live unto God. So we show his resurrection power in our lives by walking in obedience to his word. And this is an outward manifestation of what's happening in our hearts. Because if our hearts truly have his resurrection power in our life, what is going to naturally happen and occur is that we are going to walk in obedience to his word. We're going to have a desire to walk in obedience to his word. And we're going to be salt. We're going to be set apart. People are going to see that we are different without us even really having to put much effort or might or strength in what we are doing. We put our energy, our strength, our might in what is going on in the heart, and that will take care of what's coming out on the outside. If we're trying to live unto him without the heart being in the right place, we will ultimately fail and come across as a hypocrite. Now let's look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So Paul is telling us here that whatever you do, whoever you obey, okay, so if you're going to obey sin, If you're going to be disobedient to the Torah, to the law that God has given us, his instructions, what you actually are doing, when we are disobedient to God's word, we are actually becoming obedient or serving sin. And when we do that, when we present our members to serve sin, and we allow sin to reign or have power over our bodies become an instrument for unrighteousness. Okay? Our body begins to become, you could say, a sacrifice unto unrighteousness, which is not going to be pleasing in God's eyes whatsoever. But what does Paul tell us to do? Present yourselves, or be that living sacrifice unto God. Present your members or your body as an instrument for righteousness. So how is it presented as a member of righteousness? By walking in obedience to his word, by resisting sin, not allowing disobedience or our flesh to reign in our bodies, to where we obey the passions of our flesh or sin. But instead, we serve God. Each and every day, we choose who we're going to serve. We're either serving sin or we're serving God. There's no in between. It's one or the other. And every day, we are having a choice of who we are going to serve. You serve him when you're walking in obedience to his word. If you are rejecting his word, if you're not walking in obedience to his word, but you're seeking your own desires, you're seeking your own passions, you're seeking your own thoughts and ways, then you are presenting your bodies and you are serving sin. Now let's look at verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. So Paul wraps it all up really beautiful right here. Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? By no means. So, or you can say, are we to disobey his Torah because we are not under law but under grace? He says, by no means. Because whoever you obey, you are the slave of who you obey. So meaning, or saying this, if you are giving in to the desires of your flesh, giving in to the desire to walk in disobedience to his word, if you are walking in disobedience, if you're rejecting his law and his Torah, then you are a slave unto sin. You're serving sin, which Paul says leads to death. If you are being obedient to his word, to his Torah, his commands, that leads unto righteousness. Now, it is important to understand, we cannot even begin to walk in obedience unless we first believe in Yeshua, believe that he died upon that cross for us, accept him as our Messiah, because it is by faith in Yeshua that we are justified. Then from there, we can begin the process by his Spirit to walk in obedience, which leads us unto righteousness. Because by his resurrection power, we now are able to walk in a newness of life, which that newness of life is not a life where we continue to serve sin and our own desires. Because you are a slave to the one that you are obeying. What does Paul say? But thanks be to God, you were once slaves of sin. We were once a people who were serving sin, who had no choice but to sin. Sin had power over us. The desires of our flesh ruled us. The desire to break his commands and to do our own thing ruled over us. But when our heart was changed, see, we became obedient from the heart. Our heart was changed. See, we are unable to change our hearts. Only one person can change our hearts, and that is Yeshua. That is why we must possess a faith and belief in Yeshua. Believe in him, accept him into our hearts, and allow him to come in and circumcise our hearts, to work on our hearts, to change our hearts. He gives us a new heart. He takes out that old heart of stone, that desire to do his own thing and to serve sin, and he gives us a heart of flesh, which now desires to walk in righteousness. So it seeks out the things of God. So it all flows from the heart. And because of our hearts being changed, we are set free from sin. And now we become a slave of righteousness, which means that righteousness has power over us instead of sin. His word, his instructions, his law, his commandments has power over us. It means something to us. Our desire to serve it is so strong that we become a servant unto it. That is what it means to be a new person. That is the picture of the new heart. One who has now become a slave of righteousness, or a slave of obedience unto his Torah. That right there is the very reason why he died upon that cross and he resurrected out of the grave on the third day. That is what his resurrection power means unto us. That is why he has given us his Spirit, so that we can say that we are a slave of righteousness, so that when people see us, they will say, that person is a slave of righteousness. Well, I hope this teaching has blessed you, and I hope that you have enjoyed your Passover this year. I hope that you continue to enjoy this feast season. As I said, First Fruits is coming up. We're in the midst of the week of unleavened bread. I hope that you have cleansed out your home of all leaven. But not just your home, but you have cleansed out your hearts from all leaven as well, as we work on the process of what it means to walk in newness of life and becoming that slave of righteousness. So we will be back again next week with another teaching, with a teaching from that week's Torah portion. So we hope that you come back and join us. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.